live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And happy Wednesday, happy hump day, happy day before Thanksgiving, and just a nice weekend of football starting tomorrow, college football, NFL, all the way through. I guess technically you can say all the way through to Tuesday morning. I don't know if you saw this or not, Zach, but Western Kentucky-Charlotte, which was scheduled for Saturday, that game has now been moved to Tuesday morning, 9:30 kickoff, which means an 8:30 pregame show for that one. It was originally scheduled for Saturday night. So you got that. We still do not have the big numbers yet like we saw as far as cancellations and postponements. Remember, 3 weeks ago we had 10 as far as to COVID-19. 2 weeks ago it was 15. Last week, 18, which included 7 postponements, 11 cancellations. So far, here we are on Wednesday afternoon, it's just 9. 4 games postponed, which included Tennessee at Vanderbilt, Arkansas at Missouri, and earlier today, Oklahoma at West Virginia. That one gets postponed. But we have 5 cancellations, and including, by the way, it really impacts Wisconsin because one of those 5 cancellations, Wisconsin was scheduled to host Minnesota. That's the 3rd cancellation for Wisconsin. So not unless something changes dramatically, that means they are now not eligible for the Big Ten championship or anything beyond that.
Yeah, I just hope no more gets canceled or moved or whatever, because who knows?
I mean, this is – I'm trying to keep up with all of them. And I mean, I know the betting sites are too.
I laid a parlay today, like 5 – I'm not joking. I'm not trying to be facetious at all. 5 to 2 minutes before the Ravens game got moved. I just clicked submit, and then I switched right over to Twitter, and boom, there was the notification that less than a minute old that the game had got moved.
Well, and so, see, I don't know what I was thinking, because I did a 2-game parlay. I took the Monday night game, which I have a winner, chicken dinner with the Rams plus the points. And the other one is tomorrow as Air Force takes on Colorado State. So if Air Force wins, then I get the big win. But I just thought about that. It's like, what was I thinking? Because if that game gets called off, you know, because right now you can still opt out and take your winnings, because they give you chances to opt out early. Mm-hmm. If you've got a winning, like if you say you got 2 out of 3, for example, and the 3rd game hasn't been played, they give you the opportunity to opt out instead of going for the big bucks. Well, I had that now, but then I just realized that today. It's like, what was I thinking? That's like several days. Anything can happen in 3 or 4 or 5 days. So I don't think I'll do that again. From now on, I'm going to stick with that day. Any parlays I play will be based on games going to be played that day.
I guess, man, because I was so upset. What happens now? Because I can't go in and change it. You know, I guess it just transfers over to Sunday. I don't know.
But right now, you know, a lot of them haven't even, like, if you go to VegasInsider.com, where they show you the odds of almost every site. You know, there's like 7, 8, or 9, and then they come with the consensus. So, for example, one site may have -4. Another one may have -3. Another one may have -3.5. Anyway, you get to the point where, and this is where the commissioner of the picks, I was listening earlier, this is, you know, well, one of them has this, one of them has that. No, you just go look at the consensus and use that one. Not trying to dictate or anything. I'm just saying there's a reason why it's called consensus. Mm-hmm. It takes the best of, the lower ones, adds them all together, and then you get the consensus pick. But, you know, everybody, we know 2020 is crazy, just like we found out this morning the news. And as soon as it hit, you know, you had Auburn fans like, oh, wait, he's going to get some negatives, and it's going to be just it's going to be a false positive, and he'll be on the sideline Saturday afternoon in Tuscaloosa. No, he has symptoms. Now, they're mild, but, you know, look, remember when I tested positive for COVID-19, I had, you know, after the nice steroid shot on Sunday, I felt good enough to do a show on Monday. And then all hell broke loose from Monday night, and then I started going to the surges. So right now, thankfully, and we'll keep Coach Saban in our thoughts and prayers, hopefully that's all he will experience is the mild symptoms. But when you're experiencing the symptoms, you don't get a chance to do the do-overs and all that. With the symptoms, he is out, and he could miss next week as well. But first things first, he will not be on the sidelines for the Iron Bowl on Saturday afternoon.
He won't be on the sidelines, but he'll for sure be coaching in some fashion.
I don't know how they allow that or what they allow there. I was listening to that, and I don't know if – because I'm trying to recall what was in place before. Now, here's the best part about it. Because of what Alabama experienced prior to the Georgia game, remember, he had to isolate, and while he was in isolation, he was in communications with everybody as far as from a practice standpoint. But I'm not sure – if they allow that on game day or not. So that's something to be checked out on. I don't have a clarification on that just yet, but just I was thinking that the fact that I don't know if they allow that to happen in the situation. But my point is this. Alabama has already gone through this. You know, it's almost like they had the training drills for in case Coach Saban is not on the sidelines. This is how we're going to do. This is the roles. These are the responsibilities. And so they've already went through a week of that. And so because of it, they're well prepared as far as Saturday is concerned, as far as the Iron Bowl, because they've already done it.
Yeah, he's going to be involved somehow. I can't see. I don't know what the rules are either, but I would not be surprised if they try sneaking. See, I still think, is there going to be fans at this game?
Oh, yeah. Alabama's have fans.
It's okay,
just not
so.
It's not going to be packed.
Right, like that, right. I get he's got symptoms and everything. I really wonder if there's a way, just because you have the whole stadium, if there's any way that you could bring him in completely by himself, put him in a room completely by himself, and with all the phones, headphones, everything they use anyway that's already wireless, and they're just there anyway, if there's any way you can isolate him.
I don't think the SEC allows that with the protocols and the guidelines.
Well, from a standpoint of lawyers, they probably don't want to. But, I mean, if you're really thinking about the real version of it, there is definitely there's got to be a way to bring him in into a quarantine way and a quarantine area.
He will not be allowed based on the protocols that were set up before the season began.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just saying outside of the protocols. They totally
protocols. There's all kinds of things. Look, we've learned so much about from a technology standpoint how there's all kinds of ways to do business as we, you go back to from March to where we are today. You know, there's all kinds of possibilities and things that you can do.
And what's wrong with having him on a little laptop and a Zoom call and he's sitting at his house?
Yeah, I don't know if that's allowed because it sets up all kinds of other issues for one thing, as far as who's to say if Bill Belichick doesn't want to help, his alma mater or something. My point is whether it's Alabama or whatever, there's just certain things that's allowed and not to be. There's no gray area. So I guarantee you there's stipulations about being able to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you could definitely
try that. But, here's the thing. The way you're thinking is the same reason why when I first got into college athletics, I started my athletic career as far as working in athletic administration with the Nashville Sounds. And I go from that to working with Tennessee State. And I talk about it all the time. The rules, the rules manual from the NCAA when I first started, it was thin. It would be like the Spring Hill or Columbia. Remember the old phone books, right?
No, I don't remember those.
it would be like the Columbia, Tennessee or Spring Hill, Tennessee phone book if they were still around. And by the time I left, and 13 years later, it was big as a New York. And it's because of what you're doing right there, because you're doing it. And back then with rules, coaches were always finding ways to live in that gray area where, you didn't say that. This rule doesn't say that. And so then you got, rule one and 1.A, then 1.B, and then 1.C. And then you have a 1.C1, 1.C2, just because people always found loopholes. Mm. And instead of like rewriting it all together, you just kept getting all these additions and everything. And it's like, I felt for any coach, because any coach that comes in, you have to pass the test before you could go on the road to recruit, because you need to know the rules so you don't break them. And to me, that was as you moved on and got more into it And the rule manual got so thick that how are you going to know all of these? I felt bad for a compliance officer. And, you know, it's like, that's a good question. So I'm sure that's another part of the scenario, too. But I'm, if I remember correctly, protocols have been in place because this is not the first time a head coach has tested positive for COVID-19 and missed a game on the sidelines. But if I remember correctly, the protocols do not allow that.
Well, look, you can do, I figured it out. Take a Zoom call. You got him on one side. You got the Alabama, whoever's the other run go between. And then you also have the SEC official on the call as well, so he can monitor whatever Saban's doing, so there's no hanky-panky going on the other side. So there it is. I feel like that would be a way to say, okay, we know they're not cheating. If he's always in view and, you know, you have the official on the camera or something like that, I don't know. I just wonder. It's just weird. It's like, all right, no, he just can't be on the sideline. It's like, okay, physically, great. But why everything else in the world we can do besides this one thing on the sideline? That's just strange to me.
Well, in fact, as we speak, hopefully in the next 25, 30 minutes, I'll get an answer from Chuck Dunlap with the SEC office, and he'll be kind enough to let us know. Last night, a couple surprises. One, not so much. I know everybody was shocked about BYU, and just like I outlined it with Barrett Salee, Barrett disagreed with me, but when you broke down the BYU resume, who they played, yeah, great. They've been convincing against the Texas States, the North Alabamas, the Western Kentuckys of the world. Does that mean you deserve a spot and to be one of those four playoff teams for the big bucks? No. And I said it again. Now, they'll deny it. They just talked about the resume and all that. But with former coaches on that committee, it ate at them to know that BYU had a chance to take on a Washington team, which is the first team out in this week's AP Top 25 poll, undefeated out of the Pac-12. They turned down the opportunity because they wanted to see where they were as far as their resume in the eyes of the committee. I really believe the committee really slapped them a good one and really showed them how much they thought of the backing down, not taking on the challenge of taking on Washington.
Yeah, I don't know. I still feel weird about it. It just seems like no matter what, just because what they didn't do in the future is going to affect them right now. But I don't know. That's maybe I just don't know enough about it to talk about it because it seems unfair. But you wonder, okay, so if they did play them and they win, do they automatically jump up? How far would they, if they played Washington, how far would they jump up if they won? Say from where they're 14 now. Or if they put it on their schedule and they didn't play and this comes out now, or they did play, right? And before they even play, where would they be dropped to right now? Or would they still be at 14? Would they go up higher, go lower? That's just a weird back and forth, I feel like, that could happen with that.
Well, and I don't want to hear the excuse. Well, they're an independent. They're just trying to schedule as much as they can. Well, that's their choice. So just because that's your choice doesn't mean that you get I mean, look, it's lucrative to be one of those four playoff teams. Money-wise, the attention-wise, from a recruiting standpoint, everything. And this isn't like, well, we feel sorry for them, so we're going to give them that opportunity. Their only win against a ranked team this year was Boise State, and Boise State had significant players out of that ball game when they beat them. And so if you take that away, I mean, that's it. They have nothing on their schedule. And they had the opportunity to at least do something about it, and they turned it down because they thought that their resume was already good enough. Well, they thought wrong, and that's on them. That's on the coaching staff. That's on the administration. There's no excuses. BYU had the chance. They talk a good game, but when they had the chance to do something about it, they said no, and they paid the major price for it last night with this first poll.
So with this first poll, that I still want to get the answer. If they had accepted the Washington game, right? Because that game wouldn't be played by now. It would be played, what, a week from now or 2 weeks from now?
No, it was supposed to have been played this weekend.
This weekend, okay. So played this weekend. Do you think their positioning changes at all? Where they are right now in the poll?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because remember, here's the thing. Unlike AP and the coaches poll where they instead of thinking about where they you stand, where we think they are as far as down the road, the committee has always been this way. And people have, you know, here we are. It started in 2014. So you have 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Here we are in the seventh year of the College Football Playoff Committee poll. People always assume, well, yeah, but they should be this. They should be higher. It's not about what we assume is going to happen in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It's what have you done for us to this point? And what you have done for, what have you done to this point? BYU hasn't done anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They would have played Washington this week.
If you knock off a Washington team, undefeated, 20 is probably the first team out in not only the AP poll, but also probably the College Football Playoff Committee's poll as well, then that changes everything. Now you've got a nice win that you can say, hey, and at least gives you that opportunity. I was a little astonished that Georgia was ranked as high as they were, you know, because offensively we know they've struggled. But here's the thing, you know, they're 5-2, and the only two losses to the number one team in the country and the number six team in the country. Now, they were blowout losses, although the Alabama-Georgia game was tied at halftime. But the bottom line is there were losses nevertheless, a little surprise there. And how about major thumbs up to Northwestern? Number eight. And look, it's because Wisconsin was a decent team, right? And Northwestern beat them last week by 10. So I think that is so cool that Northwestern, I would love to see, forget about Cincinnati, I would love to see Northwestern be the team representing the Big Ten in the playoff.
It's possible. I mean, they've been playing well, and they've beaten some actual talent in your eyes, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we're not talking BYU here. No, we're actually talking about talented teams. All right, before we go to break, 615-844-5600. Clay in Nashville, welcome to the show,
Johnny. I will say the main point of my phone call today is to wish you and your family and Zach and his family a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family as well. We appreciate that.
Real quickly, Johnny, let's talk a little bit about this Titans-Colts game on Sunday. We know what happened in the first matchup. And I've said this before. I feel like, you know, the Colts or the Titans kryptonite. But here's another huge opportunity if they could go to Indy and win, you know, and take back control of this division. The Baltimore win was, I've got to admit, at 21-10, I pretty much thought, you know, they were beat. But, you know, this is a team when they're, you know, really make their mind up that they're going to win a football game, they win a football game. And I just think, quite frankly, the Titans wanted that football game more than the Baltimore Ravens did. But, you know, at some point, Johnny, to win your division, you've got to beat your division opponents. And the Titans just have not been successful at beating the Indianapolis Colts.
Right. I mean, look, the stats speak for themselves. Going back to the last game of 2008, the Titans are 2-10 at Indy. And of those 10 losses, only one has been by 3.5 points or less. And then you go back to that other magic number, combine Indianapolis 20-4. 20-4. I mean, that's ugly. That's called domination, and you don't really see that in the NFL very often.
Johnny, and I said this on another show on this channel today, and maybe I misspoke a little bit. Of course, I had not looked at injuries and who's going to play and who's not going to play. So I'll say it this way. When the Titans 1-53 are healthy, the Indianapolis Colts 1-53 are healthy, I think the Tennessee Titans are a better football team. I think offensively they have more firepower, and defensively maybe the Colts are a little bit better. But, and maybe I'm looking at it through two-tone blue glasses since I'm a Titans fan, but I just think they're a better football team, you know, under – normal circumstances. And I think, you know, if they want to win this division and make another run, you know, late into January and possibly even the Super Bowl, they've just got to go up there and take care of business and win a football game.
the part that really is glaring, and I'm going to disagree with you, I like special teams better with Indianapolis, but more importantly, I love the Indianapolis defense compared to what the Titans bring to the table. We're talking about the number two defense in the NFL. They're allowing less than 300 yards per contest. They're also fifth in the NFL, allowing less than 21 points per game. And so to me, that is so glaring. So, yeah, if you just look at it, the roster and all that, I see your point. But when then you start breaking it down, offense, defense, special teams, to me, people are underestimating this Indianapolis Colts team.
Well, you know, let's hope for the best. And because I'll be honest, you know, the run last year got me, you know, pretty excited because you know, I'm 59 years old, and for about 50 of those years, Nashville, Tennessee's been my home. And I dream every day of the Tennessee Titans, you know, raising the Super Bowl trophy and let's having a Super Bowl parade, you know, downtown and bringing the city a championship. I don't think this city's ever had a professional sports team, you know, championship, and I think
I will disagree because, you know, technically the Nashville Sounds are a professional team and they were able to claim several titles over the years. So
Relevant in there. Yeah, relevant
but
professional.
If you
want to
talk
team.
About, you know, NFL, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, then I see your point.
Yeah. Can you guys imagine how crazy downtown would be if they had a Super Bowl parade downtown?
I'm going to say it right now. This team is not going to be that team. Don't mean to like shock everybody or anything, but this team is not going to be that team.
There'd be a lot of cowboy boots down there on Broadway, though, if it did.
Yeah, absolutely. But remember, we'll still be dealing with COVID-19 at that point, so don't expect a major gathering for that either as far as a parade.
No. I don't know. I think that would still happen. L.A. did it.
This team still has too many glaring issues, Clay, and so I just don't see this version being that team.
Y'all have a happy Thanksgiving.
You as well. I think I hurt Clay's feelings on that one. But the reality is, you know, we talk about special teams, by the way. Indianapolis, better in kickoff returns, not even close. Better as far as from the kicking standpoint, not even close. The only part on special teams that's a wash, punt returns. That's dead even on both sides of that. Even from a punting standpoint, basically relatively the same there too. But I will say this with the news, if it is if that does carry out as far as Sunday, that's a big loss for Indianapolis when you think about the fact that right there in the middle, you know, they play with a four-man front. DeForest Buckner, the defensive tackle, not going to be a part of the equation as far as Sunday is concerned.
You know, the Super Bowl thing, it's hard to say what team is really Super Bowl capable, right? Because the Titans team last year, right? Well, Pittsburgh, right? They could, but, you know, it all comes to matchups.
Team, right? I know a team we can say is not, and that would be whoever wins the NFC East.
Right, right.
Whether it's Philadelphia or Dallas or the Giants or Washington team, it's not going to be any of those four.
But the Giants won when they were 7-9 against the Patriots
They were 9-7.
9-7, sorry. Where the East is going to end up being
9-7
anyway.
9-7 is still good enough.
It's not respectable to be a Super Bowl champion. Agree that.
Yeah, but remember, there were three teams battling it out the last 2 weeks. It could have been one of three teams, and when you've got three teams that all of them could be above average teams, because 9-7 is above average in the NFL. It's a big difference between being 9-7, or right now you're talking about all the teams in the NFC East either three or four games under 500 right now.
Oh, for sure. But I'm talking about the Titans. They're obviously a long shot to win the Super Bowl, but if we look at this team last year and where it came from, nobody would have thought they would have got to the AFC Championship game. Nobody would have thought they would have done what they did. So they have the ability. It's just it's for some reason the talent is just, you know, they just like they get hot and cold days on the wrong time. And if they could just figure out how to be hot on the same page every single game, then, you know, yeah, I could see this team going to the Super Bowl. That's, I mean, they have the same talent other than three pieces last year.
I just don't see – well, no, but those are huge. And the defense is not – defense is not good enough. Special teams not good enough. That's two parts of your game not good enough right now. And this is that time of year where you should have already had answers, and there's not right now. And
I don't know, at least the punt went away.
And I don't see the cavalry coming around the corner anytime soon with this team.
You know, Brett Curran's on his way, baby. He's going to fix it all.
Well, he'll fix the punting game. But
yeah,
the rest,
well, that was a huge party last time they played the Colts.
615-844-5600 if you'd like to be a part of the show. Don't forget, coming up a little bit later, Doug Segrist joins us out of Birmingham to talk SEC and more. He is on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340. And at 5:05, usually we do this on Friday, but since we'll have no show on Friday, handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com at 5:05. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's quite busy out here, actually, on 65 down into Brentwood, Franklin, through Williamson County, all the way down to Spring Hill. 2600 block of Murfreesboro Pike out in Antioch. They're still working that wreck. Also, it's a crash at Charlotte Pike at Hillwood Drive, West Nashville, that had injuries. It's picked up quite a bit on I-40 now, especially westbound on into Dixon County. Hey, to cater your next holiday party coming up, call Princess Hot Chicken or simply go online, princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Vast Roadside Assistance Towing and Recovery is reminding Americans to stand tall and show support to the brave men and women who fought to secure our American way. This salute is from family-owned and operated Vast Roadside Assistance Towing and Recovery. They're our number one most trusted when it comes to towing, recovery, auto repairs, and roadside assistance. Call today at 615-294-6215. That's 615-294-6215. Once again, Fast Roadside Assistance Towing and Recovery. They're professionals who care.
Hey, this is Jack Gentry from the George Plaster Show, and if you're looking for gift ideas for this upcoming holiday season, look no further than my friend Colby Gaddis with the Gaddis Vault.
Hey guys, my name is Colby Gaddis, and I'm here to tell you about the Gaddis Vault. It's a business that I began over this quarantine season. I have the opportunity to bring you guys custom fine jewelry at 60% off of the retail prices. And why is it that we can do it that way? We do everything privately. I've seen the markups on diamonds at your average brick and mortar store, and that's why I set out to do things differently. You can message my team on Facebook or Instagram with an idea of what you're looking for, and I promise that we'll take care of everything. Better yet, if you already have found the perfect piece, engagement ring, wedding band, diamond necklace that you found somewhere else, I guarantee that we can make the same thing for less. We also have some of our own products available now that you can find on our pages that would make for the perfect gift for your significant other this Christmas season. Again, my name is Colby Gaddis with Gaddis Vault. That's G-A-D-D-I-S Vault, and let me be your diamond guy.
At Slim Chickens, we're known for our 100% all-natural buffalo wings. Fresh, delicious, and fried to perfection. Now available in two new dry rub flavors. Our house favorite, Cayenne Ranch, blends cool with a kick of cayenne. And lemon pepper brings tangy zest and a punch of black pepper. But hurry, get them while you can. Whether you're dining in, driving through, or ordering online, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue.
I'm Craig Ladd.
And I'm Coach Bubba Spear.
And we invite you to listen each Saturday morning at 8 for the ninth season of Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb.
Every Saturday, we will get you up to date on all the scores from the previous night. Shine a spotlight on one of the area's top players and his coach. Feature a Prep Legend of the Week and get you set for the upcoming week.
Prep Football Talk, presented by Freeman Webb, is also brought to you by the U.S. Army, Nissan of Cool Springs and Hyundai of Cool Springs, My Team Insurance and Sam's Sports Grill and Sam's Place.
That's every Saturday morning at 8, right here on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs smoothly until 6 tonight. Don't forget, 5:05, handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. All right, so last week we had a little fun at your expense, Zach, with your two bookets as far as on Friday, including South Carolina. They were just going to roll all over Missouri. That didn't happen. What was the other one again?
It was Atlanta versus the Saints.
That was the one.
Matt
yeah,
Ryan.
New Orleans had
yeah.
no chance. No chance. Mm. Wasn't even close.
Nobody in the world would have thought Taysom Hill would have had a good game.
So with that said... there's always, all right, that's last week. This week, that's a different week.
Oh, yeah.
Anything happens. So with that said, what are your two that are just locked down picks that no doubt about it?
So one of them, I want to go brazen, and I'm sticking with Missouri. I want to go brazen here, but I'm not going to go too brazen. Vanderbilt's going to cover. They're going to, it's plus 14. They're going to be within.
Actually, it's now plus 15.
Did it go up? Okay.
Yeah, and I'm trying to understand that one too. It's like, and remember, Vanderbilt was a 3-touchdown underdog last year to Missouri here in Nashville, and they beat them. And Missouri was ranked 22nd in the country too. Mm-hmm. And Vanderbilt beat them by a touchdown here in Nashville. Yeah, I'm just not understanding the 15-point line there.
I don't get it either. Missouri, they act like Missouri is up there with Florida, with you know, some other strong teams in the SEC, and they're not. They're not that good of a program.
I love what they're doing. You know, it's under a first-year head coach. They're changing the culture, and I get that, and it's great. You know, they're one of the surprise stories, not just in the SEC, but across the country. They're 3-3, and major thumbs up, but before we get all crazy about them, I just don't see them beating Vanderbilt by 15. Now, I can see them winning the game. I just don't see them winning by 15.
No, I don't see them either. And then over to the pro side, I'm torn between two straight money line upsets because I like picking money lines. You know, the whole, like, they're going to cover, they're going to lose, though. I feel like you don't really win a bet. That's just
money
my...
Money line is good if you're picking an underdog.
Exactly, which I like to do. I don't like to go pick the favorites either because that's boring. You know what I mean? And I get it. People want to do it, and it's their job. This is not my job to be your... This isn't where you come to get your sports betting advice, all right? And so I want to go with the underdogs because it's more fun. So two games I'm torn in. I'll even let you weigh in on this. Jacksonville with Mike Glennon starting against the Browns. Browns had their starting cornerback Denzel Ward. He will be out because of COVID issues. So that seems, and you can't forget about Jacksonville has the third leading rusher in the NFL in James Robinson. And they also have DJ Chark, who is a solid wide receiver that when he can blow up and have big games, he made Jake Luton look good.
And a decent defense. Yeah, I took Jacksonville in the points. I think Cleveland wins, but I certainly like Jacksonville in the points, but I wouldn't be shocked if Jacksonville wins that game.
The other one, this is the risky one, and you will love hearing it, and I don't think you'll agree with it, but the New York Jets upsetting the Dolphins.
I'm not going to disagree with you there. In fact, I'm taking the – look, even, you know, one thing that we can count on, the Jets are keeping it interesting and keeping it close, giving themselves opportunities to win these ball games, whether or not they actually get one or not. And no, I'm taking the Jets plus the 7 against the Dolphins. The game is being played in New York,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Miami probably will win the game, but I certainly like the Jets plus 7.
And, you know, this is the thing with the Jets. As long as your quarterback is Flacco, and you have and a lot of people won't want to agree with this either, but the Jets have a really solid wide receiver core. On their offensive side, they are very solid. So, I mean, Mims, you got Breshad Perriman, who is probably one of the better deep threats in the game, but that's very underappreciated out there. And then you also have Crowder, who's another guy who just is a target hog. He can move the chains, that sort of thing. Great cover or great footwork off the field and off the line. The Jets are sneaky. They're a sneaky one. I got to pick one of them because I'm going to pick one of them to win. That's what I want to pick.
The tough one right there.
I'm going to go Jacksonville over the Browns. Jacksonville has a better chance.
Safer. Yeah, I would agree only because I still think there's a part of me that tells me the Jets are trying to not win any ball games.
Right, right.
So, and just with that mentality, the only problem with the Jets receivers, by the way, there's some talent there, but there's receivers are in positions where there shouldn't be the 1 and 2. They should be bumped down. They should bring in a true number one receiver for that squad and most likely bring in two decent wide receivers and bump everybody down. But, you know, I see where you're getting at with the wide receiver core there. I just think they're out of place. It's just like if you have an ace in a baseball team as far as your pitching rotation, and your ace goes down, and now you're expecting your 2 to be your ace, your 3 to be your 2 guy, and that's asking too much. I think that's the same way I look at the Jets' wide receivers. And the fact that they still have Frank Gore as their running attack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, Michael P. Ryan's injured. He's not going to be out there.
Yeah, I mean, Frank Gore is up there. All right. Put it this way. He's closer to my age than he is to his college days.
Oh,
that's,
for sure.
That's all you got to know right there.
But, you know, this is the thing, too, on the Dolphins side. You look at what Tua are you going to get, you know, because the Tua last week got benched and took a lot of sacks.
By the way, I didn't like – here's the thing. If you really truly have – he's your franchise guy – you have to give him the chance and opportunity in that fourth quarter. I don't care how things had not been where they needed to be, and plus he got sacked six times. But if he is your true franchise quarterback, until he has the opportunity to take your team downfield and win a ball game, then you don't know what you have. I think that they missed an opportunity on Sunday by not allowing him to finish that ball game.
I agree with you, but to play devil's advocate, the other side would say you have to treat him like you would treat everybody else, and if everybody else is having a bad game, they deserve to get pulled, and he was having a terrible game. I think it does hurt them, though, because that's where our thought is with the Jets, is what tour are you going to see? Because he's never had this, right? He's never had this where a coach pulled him and then didn't announce the next day that he's the starter, but we pulled him because he played bad. Because then that puts that weird mental...
Well, technically, because of injury, he got pulled in that second SEC championship game where Jalen... Remember the
but
year
that was
before.
That was injury. I'm talking about this was play. That's a totally... You could say, well, I got hurt, so... But this is play, you know, and that's never happened.
But remember, because of the injury, he wasn't playing well the first part of that ball game against Georgia, and Jalen Hurts comes in and saves the day. So it's... But this is different. This is just because he was sacked six times, not doing anything, but they were within a touchdown. And so I think in that situation, you have to give him the opportunity.
I agree. I mean, you just double down on it. Because what it does for Fitzpatrick, too, is that Fitzpatrick came out and looked good. He ended up throwing an interception, but he actually...
Which is what we always can expect with Ryan Fitzpatrick when a game is on the line in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. That's the Ryan Fitzpatrick that will give you all the hope in the world and then rip it out of your heart.
I was surprised, though, because, you know, what Ryan Fitzpatrick's words were on the week that he got pulled is that he really felt like it was his team. He was kind of blindsided by it, all these different things. And, you know, then to kind of tease Ryan and put him back out there and then the next day say, no, don't worry, Tua's our starter still. And it's like, I don't know. That's a weird chemistry that you don't want, I don't think.
That's just being delusional on Ryan Fitzpatrick's standpoint. All right, coming up on the other side, Doug Seeger's chance to talk some college football SEC style with Doug. He's on the way. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Quite busy out here actually on I-40 eastbound as you approach 840 out in Wilson County. A lot of that traffic's headed out towards Lebanon in the Smith County as well as you travel down I-40. Watch your speed. There's tons of radar out here. Wreck with injury, South Nashville, 4100 block of Murfreesboro Pike, and it's really picked up to the north on 65 up through Madison. To cater your next holiday party, call Prince's Hot Chicken or simply go online, princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration reminds you this holiday season there are more people traveling, more people hurrying. Take the time to drive with extra care. Others depend on your alert driving. This message is from the crew at Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, your stained glass experts serving the Nashville area, specializing in new construction, repairs, and restoration. Residential or commercial, give Butch a call at 615-308-3447. Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration wishing everyone a safe and healthy holiday season.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least four times per day and inject insulin at least three times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Mokara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in comfort of the signature Mokara Spa as you're pampered with an ultimate spa day. Make time for a soothing facial, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Give her the gift of relaxation. Call or stop by Mokara Salon and Spa for your holiday gift cards. Located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Mokara Salon and Spa.
By state forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Cloudy throughout the afternoon. Still some gusty winds and 30% chance of showers continues until about 7 o'clock tonight. Mostly cloudy, lows around 45. Mostly sunny tomorrow for Thanksgiving Day, highs low 60s. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. And speaking of which, one of the things I'm thankful for is having great friends and individuals who I respect who cover the sports landscape. And one of those, our next guest, Doug Segrist, formerly with the Nashville Banner, now down in Birmingham, co-hosting the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, as well as a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser as well. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Ballpark. Happy Thanksgiving.
It's also nice, too, and I know that you feel the same way. When you have questions, it's nice to know people in high places. Because and the thing, too, after COVID for me, you know, my memory is just it's getting like a little fog, a little hazy still a few weeks later. So, yeah. And I felt like I had the answer, but I just wanted to double check. So I checked in with my good buddy down in Birmingham with the SEC office, Chuck Dunlap. Because I've heard people speculating, well, Nick Saban, I'm sure that they can find a booth somewhere isolated or maybe do it electronic-wise. Yeah, you can coach as far as practice using computers and Zoom meetings and all that. But per the NCAA rules, he is not allowed to coach at the stadium, nor is he allowed to be coaching in any aspect as far as via electronic means.
Yeah, I mean, then you get into an Astros situation where you're using an advantage. You know, you might pick up something from the broadcast. You might pick up something from different angles. So, I mean, this is a solid rule. And I hear a lot of fans and see on some message boards, well, you know, he can just call in from, you know, from home. He can watch it on TV. Well, you can't for just that reason.
Absolutely. So now that we've got that clarified, and I was pretty sure that was the case, I just wanted to double check to make sure.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that talk about how, you know, going into the Georgia game, how beneficial is it now knowing that Alabama thought they were going to be playing that Georgia game without Nick Saban coaching? In fact, I think they flew in the test results to make sure he was eligible to be able to coach that game against the Georgia Bulldogs. But the fact that they already have gone through this, where everybody knows their roles in this situation, they were already prepared to do it before, and talking about how that, you know, with the false positive that Nick Saban had back in October, how beneficial it is coming up this week against the Auburn Tigers.
Well, it's beneficial because they tabletopped it. You know, they knew going in the Georgia game, this was how it would work if it came to that. But I guarantee, knowing Nick Saban, I mean, they prepared for this possibility back in July when we first started talking about how we were going to resume the season. You know, and you add on top of that, he's got a very experienced coaching staff. He's got at least, I'm just going off the top of my head, three head coaches who are analysts, you know, one of whom can step in on the field, whether it's Butch Jones or whether it's
no Butch Jones, please, no Butch Jones.
Well, I mean, he's got somebody that can, you know, can help him, maybe help Sark see stuff, and you know, that's one of the rules also, that you can step somebody into that on-field position for that game. But I mean, he's just got a very veteran staff, and they already know what they're doing. And I just think of all the coaching staff in the country, this one is going to be as prepared as anyone.
By the way, Auburn, a 24.5-point underdog. I did the math and looked back at this series with Gus Malzahn. I'm just not buying it. Do I believe Alabama is going to have a blowout win, probably like 42-17 or something like that? Absolutely. But I'm not buying the 24.5-point spread there that Alabama's favored on Saturday.
Listen, I agree. A month ago, I think Auburn was very average, was a pedestrian team. And since then, they have improved dramatically, particularly up front. And in terms of identifying playmakers. So this is a much different team than the one that lost to Georgia early in the season. They are a legit top 15 team now. Now, defensively, they're very good. It's not what we're used to seeing. Of course, nobody has a defense like what we used to see. They are capable of holding Alabama close to that magical 35-point number that they've reached 20 straight games. They also have a little confidence. You know, that two pick sixes last year kind of swung the game against Mac Jones. Now, it was only his second start, but he was a little shaky, so they've got that going in there. And I think if you look at their offense, they are playing much better of late. The key to me is how healthy is Tank Bigsby. Can he go? Ham, the tackle, is he good enough to go? Because, again, that offensive line has really improved dramatically. One of the most improved units I've seen in an Auburn season in a long time. But they've got the horses. This is a pretty deep team, and they have kind of started to put together. So I think you're looking at 21 points kind of being the real margin, and that's probably the max.
By the way, as much as people have talked about the Alabama defense this year, going into this game on Saturday, the number one scoring defense in the SEC, that's worth noting as well. Vanderbilt was supposed to host Tennessee on Saturday night, and we talked about this last week because of that ruling two Fridays ago that the week of November 28th, December 5th, December 12th, December 19th, you know, just because it says it right now on paper means nothing, and we got that information earlier this week on Monday. With that game between Tennessee and Vanderbilt getting called off, Vanderbilt now goes from a home game, now on the road to take on Missouri. The part that I'm trying to figure out, how is Missouri a 15-point favorite against Vanderbilt Saturday?
I think that's just kind of a national perception, and people aren't paying attention to how much better Vanderbilt has gotten each and every week. I had a Missouri friend reach out to me today and said this game scares the heck out of him because Vanderbilt is really playing good ball right now, and this is a Missouri team that has struggled of late. Really, they've been inconsistent all year long, so I think it's got the attention of Missouri fans for certain.
Well, yeah, because I could, you know, talking about money lines and things like that, now that betting is legal in Tennessee, I go back 2 weeks ago, I had Vanderbilt to win that game outright against Kentucky, and they entered that ball game, 17-point underdogs in that one? So, and remember last year, Vanderbilt beat Missouri. Missouri came into the game ranked 22nd in the country, favored by 21 against Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt won that game by a touchdown. So a little bit of a head-scratcher. Another game that's really intriguing to see what Texas A&M and LSU, how that plays out as well coming up this weekend.
Yeah, LSU has so much going on behind the scenes. Can they put it together? Again, you know, they're up and down offensively, defensively. I don't even think they try to play defense. And this is a A&M team that still is in the hunt for a college football playoff bid. And, you know, they really need this win, and they really need they're kind of at the point where they need style points to impress the committee because, you know, they're going to have to prove that they're better than one of the group of five supers if it gets to that point. You know, that they're going to need a lot of luck, but they're also going to need to be really impressive down the stretch. So all the pressure's on Texas A&M.
By the way, I think Notre Dame goes down on Friday at North Carolina, which Ooh. Really sets up a lot of strange things. Because here's the thing, Notre Dame's only favored by 4.5 in the first place.
That's true.
But it opens up the door for a Texas A&M. If they finish this season strong, you know, they don't have to worry about playing in the SEC championship game and getting another loss. They're sitting there pretty. Here's Florida already with one loss. If they lose, if they are playing Alabama in the SEC championship game and lose that's their second loss. Texas A&M is just in an outstanding position right now to slip in there and be one of those four playoff teams.
Oh, I agree. They're in great position. A lot has to happen around the rest of the country, and you're going to see a lot of the talking heads, even if all the dominoes fall, say, well, wait now, Brigham Young, look, they passed the eye test. Cincinnati, you know, has played a decent schedule. They passed the eye test. But when you look at what Texas A&M has done, they've only really got two marks against them, a subpar performance against Vanderbilt and then the loss to Alabama, but that was very early. They've improved dramatically.
Doug, always a pleasure. Once again, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. If you're not following Doug already, you can do so on Twitter at DSegrist. Look forward to visiting with you again on Saturday for our Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show at 11:05. But until then, happy eating for you and your family. Be safe, and we'll talk soon.
You stay safe as well. Thanks, buddy.
I will. Thank you. That's Doug Segrist joining us. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Still very heavy traffic out here at times on 24 up by Shelby across the Sullivan Evans Bridge. 4,000 block at Murfreesboro Pike. That wreck is still getting some attention out there. That was involving some injuries. It's just busy, but it's moving down through Williamson County. It doesn't really get too heavy on 65 southbound until you get down into Spring Hill. Hey, if you're looking to buy or sell a home, call Tony and Nikisha Tate, the Tate team. Call 554-9795. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The final lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Kurt Busch was on track last week at Charlotte Motor Speedway, shaking down the new next-gen NASCAR race car slated to be run in 2022. And first of all, what was the goal for running this?
So we've been on different ends of the track. The focus is to go through tires for Goodyear and finding the best combination. There's a Watkins Glen tire here. There's a Mid-Ohio tire, and there's also a Sonoma tire. And so I think we're just trying to log laps on components for road course stuff. And then Wednesday will be the primary focus on getting the cars out there together and seeing how they manipulate the air and if they're less affected by the air.
All right, Kurt, you've had a chance to be with the car for quite a while now. What are some of the differences? What are we going to notice as fans?
Yes, everything. It even sounds throatier and deeper, and the sound was very cool. I mean, I don't get to hear cars a lot because I'm into car racing, but to hear Truex go around and to hear the split exhaust, one pipes out the left, one pipes out the right, that's an old school Trans Am style thundering power feel. But the car accelerates quicker, it stops quicker, it turns quicker, it's more nimble. All the lap time that's been gained is through the infield section with this independent rear suspension and the ability to shift quicker.
TheFinalLap.com.
What do you want to da-da-da? What do you want to da-da-da? I have not a da with a da-da-da. We could switch to Progressive, da. Oh, yeah. We could switch to Progressive and sa. Mm-hmm. We could sa and have to buy some za. Oh, yeah. Let's switch to Progressive to da and get some za with the money we saw. Yeah. Now we know we're going to da-da-da.
These days, nothing is normal and everything is weird. But you could still save big when you switch to Progressive. It might just be the most normal thing you da-da-da.
Quote to da at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hi, I'm Brooke Burke. Do you ever consider just how important your feet are? They're quite literally the foundation of your body. And if you don't take care of them, you're asking for problems. That's why I wear Skechers new Arch Fit shoes. Skechers teamed up with podiatrists to make a shoe that provides total foot and arch support. They use 20 years of data to design a podiatrist-certified insole that distributes support across the arch no matter what foot type you have, providing extreme comfort. Get Skechers' new Arch Fit at a Skechers store near you, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you, along with Zach Williams. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Usually we visit with him on Fridays at 5:05. 5:05 today because of the Thanksgiving break on Thursday and Friday. Also around 5:35 or so, Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline, sportsline.com. Hey, don't forget, if you're looking for a fun time over the next few days with your friends or family, don't forget about Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. 5 great locations to serve you in the area. We're talking about bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. And now with two enhanced experiences in the area, Hendersonville at Circus World, and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall. And with these enhanced experiences, we're also talking about laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. For more information, you can go online at strikeandspare.com. And don't forget, all locations open 7 days a week, including holidays. So do what we used to do when I was growing up on Thanksgiving night. We would jump in the car and go bowling. So something to think about, too, as far as tomorrow night. Maybe start a new tradition in your family. Always remember, too, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Hour number one in the books, hour number two coming up, and some interesting games we'll be looking at as far as with Lee Sterling, Texas A&M, LSU, Notre Dame, North Carolina, the Iron Bowl, and then also in the NFL on Sunday, now Pittsburgh, Baltimore, along with Indianapolis and the Titans. Those are the games we'll be looking at the top of the hour right here on Nashville Sports Radio.